الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, in last week's bayan and talk we had made mention with regard to a process and a journey which each and every one of us in this gathering, and indeed each and every one in this world, will have to undertake one day. And that is the journey of death. We had made mention with regard to the wisdom and the reasons why we are supposed to prepare for death. We had also concluded by saying that because death is inevitable, each and every one of us will have to pass through the stage. It is important that we know the masail and what to do at the time of death. And that is why today's bayan, I would like to make mention and look at that particular process so that you and I are mentally prepared for something which is inevitable and which each and everyone will have to pass through one day. You see, many a times, death is preceded by illness. And illness also has many wisdoms and benefits. In a hadith in Abu Dawood, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, when a person and a believer falls ill, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him cure and shifa, that illness has a dual benefit. One, it is an atonement for his past minor sins. And secondly is that it is a warning for the future. And when a disbeliever succumbs to illness, then that particular illness is of no benefit to him. He gains no benefit and lessons from that. And his example is like that of a camel whose owner tied it up and untied it, and the camel is unaware for the reason why it was tied or untied. So this hadith tells us that illness also has certain benefits which you and I are supposed to be aware of. One is that illness is a means of wiping away our past ill deeds, or wiping away our minor sins. See, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, many a times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allots a certain status to a person, but he, through the means of his amal and deeds, is unable to reach that status which Allah wants to allot to him. He doesn't have enough deeds to come to that status which Allah wants to allot to him. And Allah Ta'ala brings some difficulty, sickness upon him to bring him up to that status which Allah Ta'ala wants to allot to him. So sickness is a means of wiping away our minor ills or deeds of the past. And that is why we find, you see, that many of our kabirin, many of our pious people, usually you find when they, you know, their death is preceded by long illness. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mu'a Abu Hassan Nadwi, you find many elderly and saintly people, they death is preceded by illness because perhaps one of the reasons is this. The next reason Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself has given us is that illness is a warning for the future. Start preparing yourself for that time which is inevitable, which you will have to come through one day. See, that is why we also have to appreciate our health when a person falls ill. It makes us appreciate our health. Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Alayhi has made mention of an incident. And this is the manner how Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to make mention of an incident and draw an inspiration and draw a lesson. He said a king was going out on an expedition. He had to pass by water, and they were in that particular ship. When in that ship there was one person who was making the expedition of everyone miserable. He was complaining about the ship. He was complaining about being seasick. And everyone was now becoming tired of him. One wise person said, "O king, allow me to cure this person. I will do something that he will not complain thereafter." So the king gave him the permission. So this wise person took this person who was constantly complaining and threw him into the sea. And threw a log with him. So he managed then after to get hold of the log, and he was brought back to safety. And after that there was no complaint. And the king asked, "How did you, through this particular method, make him stop complaining?" So the wise person said, "Very easy. This person underestimated the safety the ship was providing in the depth of the ocean that was surrounding the ship. When he realized the danger that was outside the ship, and he came back into the ship, he stopped complaining because he realized that the ship has got some sort of protection from the depth of the ocean. And then Sheikh Sari Rahmatullah Alayhi says, many a times people do not value their health until sickness overtakes them. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, sickness, two things. One is atonement for our past minor sins. Secondly, warning for the future. Also warning that start valuing and appreciating your health. Do something constructive in the time that you have. Also with regard to illness, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has laid great emphasis on visiting the sick. And he has made mention of it as a virtue of the highest order. In a hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when a person goes and visits the sick, then a proclaimer from heavens call out, may you be happy, may your walking be pleasant, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accommodate you in Jannah. In another hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that whenever a person goes and visits another sick person, then 70,000 angels pray for his forgiveness when he goes and visits the sick person. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala reports, once went to visit a villager in the rural areas outside Medina Munawwara. Ibn Abbas said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day went to visit a villager in the rural areas outside Medina Munawwara. Now this is a remarkable act of brotherhood, to go and visit a person who people regard as socially of a lower status. It is a prophetic example worth emulating. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even went to the extent of visiting people who were not Muslims. The very famous incident, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day went to visit a Jewish boy who was sick, a youngster. And when he was about to leave this world, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, recite the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And when he hesitated and looked up towards his father said, Ati Abul Qasim, obey what Abul Qasim has got to tell unto you. And he accepted Islam, he recited the kalima and he passed away. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy by this, saying, Alhamdulillah alladhi anqadhahu minan nar. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who saved him from the fire of Jahannam. So this is all Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah. Visiting people who are regarded to be socially of a lower status. Visiting even people who are disbelievers and giving them the da'wah and inviting them towards Islam. But of course we must keep in mind few things with regard to visiting the sick people. One of them is, we should not visit sick people at a time when they are likely to be resting. When they are likely to be resting, we should take into consideration that particular time and not visit them at a time when they are likely to be resting. Secondly, our visit should not be a burden to the sick person. And it should not be a burden to the family. Many a times it is observed and seen that today the way we go and visit sick people, it is like, you know, giving burden and taklif and inconvenience to the sick person, the patient, and even to the family involved. We should be very careful about that. In fact, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention that the best of visit to a sick person is that which is brief and you don't cause inconvenience to the patient. Unless he himself tells you, stay a little while for me, I would like to speak to you. That's a different matter. But by and large, our visits to sick people should not be a means of inconvenience to them. And the third thing also we should keep in mind is what Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith which appears in Jami' al-Tirmidhi. And in this, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, when you visit a sick person, give him hope. Give him hope and speak to him in a reassuring tone and with reassuring words. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in this manner, you would not be able to change taqdeer. Whatever is designed for him will happen, but at least you will make him happy. Now many a times people we find that you go and see a person who is sick and you start going and telling him, oh, look at how sick you are. By how much weight you have lost. By saying, ni marwana wa itebi marijai. The matter will die, he also will start dying. Speak to him in a reassuring tone, with reassuring words, that you can make him happy. You won't be able to change taqdeer, but you will be able to make him happy. Then, of course, these are certain things with regard to illness. Now, of course, with regard to the actual time itself. Our ulama have said, you see, there's a word which is used to refer to a person who is about to leave this world. And that is, he is defined as muhtadar, one upon whom the signs of death become visible. Now the ulama have said that there are four usual signs, apparent signs. Sometimes the signs are found, sometimes it is not found. And those particular signs are, the leg becomes slack or limp. The nose start become slightly crooked. Right? The breathing becomes quick, heavy and erratic. And fourthly, the ulama say that the temples begin to stagger. So these are the visible signs of a person leaving this world. At that particular time, what should be done is, the first thing that should be done is, try to lay the person either in such a manner that the right side of his is towards the Qibla, or in a manner that his feet is towards the Qibla. But if his feet is towards the Qibla, his head should be raised up with cushions. This is the true manner and method which the ulama has said that how you must lay down a person in this particular state. Of course, if it is very difficult or inconvenient to put him in that particular state, then any particular position will suffice. But the reason why the ulama say lay him or towards the Qibla is that the chances of shaitan distracting him at that particular time are less. That is why you should lay him towards the Qibla. Then another important aspect is that we should recite Surah Yasin and Surah Ra'ad. Surah Ra'ad in the certain supara of the Holy Quran and Surah Yasin. To recite Surah Yasin nearby a person who is about to depart from this world is extremely beneficial to ease the pangs of death and to make it easy for the departing person. These are things that we've done. Also together with that, it should also be kept in mind that you see all the bed linen should be packed and you know everything around the room should be packed. You know, even if people do not take you know precaution with regard to this, but pictures, even newspapers that have pictures should be removed. Even, you know, as far as possible, only in that room should be people who are parked. You know, and also try and keep pious people who are there. This is a very critical juncture, my dear respected brothers. And even our ulama say we should not even talk about any worldly affairs. Leave your world at that particular time. It should be done before that particular time. It should not be done at that particular time. Our ulama write that even if a person is overly attached to his small child, and at that particular stage, do not bring the small child in front of him. Everything should be done to attract his attention towards Allah Azza wa Jalla. And my dear respected brothers, this is no joke. This is now serious time. A time which is most crucial upon which his whole future depends and hinges upon. That particular time is a very crucial time. Because Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man kana akhiru kalami la ilaha illallah, dakhal al-jannah." He whomsoever's last statement and word before he departs from this world is the kalima, la ilaha illallah, he would enter into Jannah. Now because of that, shaitan tries his utmost to try and mislead the person to try and take him away, that his last words must not be the kalima, la ilaha illallah. And this is made mention, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi, very famous mufassir, was it in the tafsir of the Holy Quran, on his deathbed, people are telling him, recite la ilaha illallah. He went into a state of unconsciousness, and he is saying, no, no. People are surprised. Great alim like this saying no when people are telling him to recite the kalima. After regaining consciousness, people ask him, why did you refuse when we were telling you to read the kalima? You were saying no. He replied, I was not referring to you. Shaitan came to me and said, die as a disbeliever. And he came with various ways to entice me to die as a disbeliever. And I was telling him no. I was not referring to you. How could I be saying no to the kalima, la ilaha illallah? The hadith which appears in Tirmidhi Sharif, that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if a person dies or is about to leave this world, shaitan comes to him and said, mut yahudiyan aw nasraniya, die as a Yahudi or die as a Nasrani. How can I say no to the kalima? And this is a crucial time. As Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written a kitab on this, Ad-durratul fakhira fi kashfi ulum al-akhirah, in which he has made mention that how important this particular time is. Allah in the Holy Quran makes mention of it. كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ. Remember the example of shaitan when he tells human being, become a disbeliever. فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ, and when he disbelieves, he says, إِنِّي بَرِئٌ مِنْكَ, I distance myself from you. I do not tell you to become a disbeliever, you became on your own will. So shaitan tries the utmost. However, we must not lose heart, my dear respected brothers. We must not lose heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us also glad tidings. Allah ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Verily those who say, Allah is my Lord, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and then they remain steadfast upon that. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, the malaika come to their assistance at the time of death. In one hadith, even Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes to your assistance. And he comes and gives you reassuring words and glad tidings. لَا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't be afraid. Do not regret what has happened. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ, and he gives you glad tidings of Jannah. Allah has referred to this also in another ayat, الَّذِينَ عَامَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who have iman and those who have the fear of Almighty Allah, لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. For them is glad tidings in this world and in the year after. The glad tidings referred to in this ayat in this world, the ulama write, is the glad tidings with regard to the malaika giving you glad tidings of iman if you remain steadfast in that particular day. However, we must be aware, you see, the way you live, that's the way you are going to die. Our living, the way we live, that's the way we're going to die. And again we tell, yes sir, last week we made mention, that when you visualize that you are going to leave this world, you will come to the realization that I cannot continuously defy the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There has to be a day when I got to make that step turn. I got to start changing my way and my way of life. This is something that is, in any way, it is a very, very, very crucial stage. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, his waqiyah, the incident is listened and made mention of in the books, that, you see, once when he was, at this particular time, they told him to recite the kalima, la ilaha illallah. Then when he was told, with regard to this, he said, no, la ba'du, not now, no, not now, not now. Again, when he regained consciousness, his son asked him, we told you to recite the kalima, and you said, not now, not yet. No, that's the type, what was you replying, what were you referring to? He said, shaitan came to me and said, oh Ahmad, you have managed to save yourself from my whispering. And I was thinking that shaitan is telling me this, for me to become complacent. And I was telling him, shaitan, not yet. It's still not, my breath is not yet left me. And I must remain steadfast with kalima la ilaha illallah till I die. That is what I was referring to, not yet. So whatever it is a very crucial time. Now at that particular crucial time, the Sharia has given command both to the person involved himself and to the person and the people who are close by him. To the person himself, the ulama have written, there is a dua to be read. Allahumma khfirli, warhamni, wa alhiqni bir rafiq al-a'la. Oh Allah, forgive me, have mercy upon me, and let me meet the great companion Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one dua. And another dua the ulama have made mention the person must read at that particular time is, Allahumma inni ala ghamaratil mawti wa sakaratil mawt. Oh Allah, help me at the time of the pangs of death. Why the pangs of death are difficult? That is something that you and I must come to realize. And you see the reason why Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min mawtil fuja'ah wa min mawtil bakhta. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from a sudden and an unexpected death. Now sometimes it's taqdeer is such that you will die suddenly or die unexpectedly. But the best form of death is where this particular things are kept in mind. Where there is sickness, there is illness, there is a time to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a time to make dua. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to say, I never envied the easy death of anyone after I had witnessed the death of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I never envied the death, easy death of anyone after I witnessed the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also went through some difficulty at the time of his death. To the extent that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was placing his hand into a bowl of water, placing it on his forehead and saying, Inna lil mawti sakarat, verily death has certain painful pangs. So Aisha said, I never envied the easy death of anyone after I witnessed the death of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is one thing, the dua that we must read. The second most important thing is, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that I heard Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying 3 days prior to his passing away, no one of you should die until he has a good expectation of Allah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Imanu bayna al-khawfi wal-raja. Iman is between hope in the mercy of Allah and fear of Allah with regard to your guna and sin. But the ulama say, in our lifetime, fear of Allah should dominate our life. In our lifetime. But at the time of death, we should have more hope in the mercy of Allah than the fear of Allah. No one should die until he has a good expectation of Allah. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, before he passed away, told his son to recite all those ayat and the hadith which induces hope in the mercy of Allah. That's this. Then for the people who are close by, the ulama have written they must make talqeen. Talqeen means to encourage the departing person to recite the kalima la ilaha illallah. And the way they should do it is, they should recite the kalima loudly in such a manner that kalima's it comes to the ear of the departing person, so that when he hears it, he is induced and encouraged to recite the kalima la ilaha illallah. And if he recites it, then that talqeen should stop. They should stop the talqeen. Because the object is that the last words be the kalima la ilaha illallah. The object is not that he should recite the kalima till the end of his life. They should stop. If he says any word thereafter, they should then start again the talqeen and start again reciting the kalima la ilaha illallah. At no stage should they command, direct, or instruct him to recite the kalima la ilaha illallah. Because the difficult stage, by commanding or directing him, we do not know what his reaction would be, which could be very, very detrimental to him. And then the ulama say that if, when there is a rapid gasp of breath, indicating the final moments of his life, at that time all who are there, they should jointly recite the kalima la ilaha illallah loudly. And if perchance, if anything that seemed to be inappropriate escaped his lips, then we should not give it much prominence. We should dismiss it saying that the time of death is very difficult. One's mental faculties are impaired. And perhaps because of that particular mental faculties being impaired, he had said what he had made mention. He did not mean what he had said. And make dua and istighfar for him. And after a person passes away, then the ulama have written, the first thing that we should do, we should gently close his eyes. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person passes away, vision also departs, close his eyes, tie his legs together, and tie his face by putting something round his chin over his head. At that particular stage, that is what would need to be done. Inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us alive, we will make mention of other aspects for that particular time, inshallah, in the coming weeks. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.